Four.
Straight down the middle. It went
this is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning, right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at ML on WLXG. Ask questions or comments on what you'd like Matthew to talk about on the show. Today's show is sponsored by French Lick Resort, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Play Golf Lexington, and by Edwin Watts Golf. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. It's Backspin Golf. It's Sunday morning. Yeah. We got a great show today. Two of my absolute favorite people. First, Perry French. Well, three of my favorite people. Perry French, of course. Cleveland Golf's Rickson will join me, as he always does. And then TJ O'Claire from PGA.com, the senior interactive producer, with a couple of great stories that I saw on Twitter. I want him to share those with all of you. And then Emily Kay from SB Nation. She's just a terrific golf writer. She'll look back with me at this season past on both the PGA Tour and the LPGA Tour. Just terrific people with great stories. And then I'm going to go play golf. Beautiful, beautiful day. I hope you'll all have a chance to get out there today as well. So stick around. It's Backspin Golf right here on ESPN Sports.
Now joining Matthew on Backspin Golf is Perry French, PGA professional and territory manager of Srixon Cleveland Golf.
Perry French, it's the start of a new year with Perry French.
It is.
How about that?
Gosh,
that pretty good, wasn't it?
That was a serenade, quite frankly.
Kind of a little. Well, for the listeners.
A little crooning.
I wasn't crooning to you.
I understand.
That was for the listeners.
You were serenading the listeners.
Sunday morning, a little after 8 o'clock.
After that horn intro that we always have at the...
That's right.
Where is that from, by the way? What is that?
It's just a Bing Crosby.
Okay, Bing Crosby.
I don't think that it was from a movie or anything.
I didn't know.
I think it was... it's a good question, but I just think it's...
How it got selected.
Bing, we all
know. Sure, we know straight
golfs,
down the middle. So but,
yeah.
But just... Yeah. Dun, 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 dun.
All right, you don't get to sing on the show. I do sing on the show.
New Perry season. French. It was a great offseason, wasn't it?
Oh, whew, man.
Did you blink?
Well, I got to actually... I went to South Africa for a day and played a little and then came back.
Well, it was a new season.
I got a new event, yeah. Mm. I turned around. It was a new season. I have a hard time, actually, explaining this to some people. It's kind of I remember the old days, like a few years ago, when they did all these guys would take the rest of this year off till Sony in Hawaii,
right,
the first event of the new year. Well, not that's like the eighth.
Yeah, you'd
event.
Have them. They'd show up in Australia. Maybe a few guys would go to Australia and play that little series of the Australian Open Masters
and go surfing.
Go to Australia for a month, or three weeks. Yeah, this is a again. We're in, I don't know how many years now this has been of the wraparound season, but it's been at least four.
Yeah,
maybe five.
It's not that long.
No, it's just a new dynamic, and not all the events count. Still, that's the key thing. These events are counting for FedEx points. These are players' careers on, rebooting. It's year two for a lot of guys on their 2-year exemption from a win, or that they've got to make those finishes and points to finish
those
in the top 125.
Right.
Before
we've talked on the show about the FedEx Cup thing.
Yeah.
Where starting this week, they will be putting up FedEx Cup points. Who's leading? We just had the FedEx
events.
Cup. Okay, 47. Okay. So this week they will start again. I've talked about, you and I have said, Let's see it the last 4 weeks. Maybe once in the middle of the year. And then the last 4 weeks when it actually
means
something.
You don't have to post it. It really is.
So they're starting that. And the commercials are make me gasp because they've started the commercial. It's a new year, and they show these numbers going backwards to zero. The FedEx Cup points going backwards to zero. Yep. It's a new year. I'm like, what? This is what I'm talking about.
Well, and here
that's
we
how
are.
They're
we
selling
know,
it.
We know what's going on now. It's the baseball playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
So when we talk about this, when you get to the playoffs, your record is out.
Yeah, right.
You're in the playoffs.
That's right.
It's a 3 out of 5,
like
4 out of 7.
Or one game like my Yankees.
That's right.
Yeah.
My Yankees,
okay.
too, by
yeah.
the way.
Don't oh, that's right.
That.
Yeah. Our Yankees. Yeah.
And what happens is this Fed, I'm still, we talked about this, I still don't like the fact that they let these points accumulate and not let this be a playoff system that we're, when we drop from 120 to 7 to 100 to 70
to 30.
To 30, this has got, there's got to be a reset. They're awarding somebody for something he did all year.
Right.
And if you go 17-0,
at the end of the year.
17-0, you don't win the last game, you don't win the Super Bowl.
Correct.
New England Patriots.
Good. This is a great analogy. In every other sport.
Right. And this is fine that you had a great season.
Right.
And we know that you're playing in, they're not playing in 47 events.
No.
Some are playing in 27 and some are playing in 30.
Right.
Some are playing 35, depending on their schedules and what they need to get to. So how is that fair? If I'm playing in more events than you.
Right.
Don't they play 162 baseball games?
Yes, they do.
Don't they play 16 football games?
Yes, they do.
There's no, you get to play two more because maybe your record will get better.
Right.
Fine. I understand what it is. It's
golf. You're very good. This is almost lawyer-like.
Let's go to the playoffs or the playoffs. Yes, we have to have a way to get the 120 players.
So then you're there, 125.
Excuse me.
And so you're there.
And change that format, please.
Yeah.
I realize
it ain't happening. Who? I haven't heard one guy on the PGA Tour or anybody
I get a brain cramp when it comes down to the final two events. And if he finishes in 14th, and if he goes to this position, and he finishes in 6th, and he going to – what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, no.
It's just mental jeopardy that it doesn't make – it's not golf. I want to see the winner and who's trying to beat him, who's trying to catch him.
Right.
I mean, that's who's leading. I want to see the chase the leader game.
Mm-hmm.
Chase the leader. Yes, if you win, if you finish in the top 20 or 30 or 40 that week, you go to the next week.
Right. I'm 140%, maybe 150%.
Oh, good.
With you on this.
It would be more fun, and I know that there's a lot of money at stake. It's a huge pot at the end of that rainbow. Good for them.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to get TV money paying for that and eyeballs on the TV. And I'm telling you, when football kicks off and they're doing the same, it's going to be in football season every year.
Right.
And it's the first week or two of football
when
your teams are still hoping to be good.
Well, not mine, but that's all right.
Yeah, you Giants.
Shh. It's all right.
But that point of sale, you're not really ready to give up on them either.
Right.
It's only four games in.
Right.
But at game one and two, you're definitely watching. You know, it's a.
Yes.
I want to see them address that. I think the game of golf has a lot of great things.
Is there any
next year's
chance,
a Ryder Cup year. It's going to be a huge.
Is there any chance that they will address it, though? Or do they think, hey, you know what? This is work, and we'll leave this alone.
I think that unless the players squabble. The players squabble and TV money squabbles. If the FedEx, people say, hey, we're not getting enough viewership for our sponsorship dollars. You know, we need to get the ratings up. If ratings come in, and
then
there's a chance they'll have to alter that system. And again, it's only 30 players going to watch the last event. You know, that's a tough field. You get to watch some bad golf in that.
Really bad golf, number one. Number two, with a million commercials, because there aren't that. There's only 15 twosomes out there.
I know. That's.
And it also means more time for Johnny Miller.
Well, he's only got one more year.
I don't care.
I'm just saying, you've got it. That's part of it. That's tough to watch. You've got 15 players.
Oh.
Or, of those 30 players, unfortunately, half of them aren't going to play very well or contend. But if the format was such where you had to get to Saturday to be in the top 15.
Says Perry with a big grin.
That's right.
Yeah.
Top 16 to get to the Saturday playoff round out, the Friday cut.
Mm-hmm.
Go home with your money. Take your $100,000. You've earned it.
Yeah.
If you finished 16th.
And go home.
And go home.
Right.
But on Saturday morning, those top 16 guys go out there. It's a shootout.
Now you're talking.
Okay. Then right. we go to Sunday, and it's a shootout again because it's two rounds.
Right.
The sixth, it's not. We're going to have 16 players. At least I got guys out there where those guys are playing the best.
Right.
They have a chance to win. And guess what? On Saturday morning, we start at zero. So if some guy shoots 10 under par for 2 days, good for him. He's going to be number one.
Right.
But the guy who finishes even par or 200 or 300 to get in, he's got a chance. Comes. That's what we do every week in the playoffs.
The last couple of weeks, you've made an awful lot of sense with a lot of things. That's kind of scary.
I call it that's my stream of consciousness.
Yeah,
I
but it's there, actually
all this
right.
drive time on the road. I'm kind of like thinking, how can they make this better? I'd like to watch. I enjoyed the President's Cup for the great golf that I did see, but we also saw some pat golf.
Oh,
guess
yeah.
what? That kind of warms my heart too. Because people want to see the guy miss a shot.
Yeah, oh,
I
yeah.
was, and also I was amazed at some of the risks they took. After hitting shots into, I'm going, how are they hitting 280 or 3 woods into this little landing on that par 4?
Right.
Are you kidding me?
It's a great Those golf course, by
great,
the way.
Oh, what the views
yeah.
are. That
and that 10th hole, we talked
yeah.
about this.
Yeah.
That 10th hole, there were more rulings and guys playing out of that little 2-inch strip of hazard where it stopped right
on the golf course, though, the normal routing, is it the 15th hole, though?
I think it's...
Or is it the it's a
14th?
Yeah, it's a different hole in the golf course.
Right.
They've changed the routing for all that.
Right.
Having a par 3 being your last hole of the that's an I know it's they reversed the nines at mm-hmm. the Tour Championship
right.
tonight, but in a team match play event, having a par 3 being the last one, bringing a booger of a par 3.
Oh boy.
That's fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm excited you're just talking about
you know, you're waiting, okay, one shot, big difference. You know, it's 100. Everybody has a 180-yard shot in,
mm-hmm.
not Dustin Johnson having a 70-yard
right.
shot and the guy back there having a 180-yard
right.
shot.
You're talking about what was 18.
What
10
was 18?
One day it was 134,
right.
the next
– Oh, right on the shore.
Oh, that whole –
And the view was awesome, the New York City skyline.
The Statue of Liberty there, yeah.
It definitely delivered, cool. And that could be a great place to do it again. I'll tell you what, if you put the President's Cup there again, I know the players probably enjoyed it. They were ferrying across from New York
yeah.
City. That might be something that when it goes back, that's where they host mm-hmm. it. It could be, I mean, perfect name
do you
for
know
it,
where
Liberty
the,
National.
Where the President's Cup is next 2 years from now? Have we even?
It's in Australia. It's at Royal Melbourne.
Oh, that's Royal Melbourne.
And again, that when you go to these different countries, you used to have one venue to host it. Like
right.
the U.S. Liberty National should host the President's Cup every year.
I agree.
It's that kind of. It's a different event in all those aspects. Let's go into single match play. Five days.
Yeah. Perry French for commissioner or one of those positions.
Executive director
nah,
of
you're
the
too busy.
Competition
you're
skills.
Too busy.
Oh, that'd be fun to do.
All right.
We're winding
Justin
down.
Thomas.
Wow.
Let's talk about him.
He got what he deserved, right? He player of the year.
PGA player of the year. Not a shock, not a surprise. He had a pretty good year for a 24-year-old, I'd say.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of zeros at the end of the bank account this
year.
Oh,
my Lord. I mean, really. And to be honest.
I mean, just Jordan Spieth did it 2 years ago, so yeah. he was 22. And
but to be honest, if I'm being honest with myself, which a lot of times I'm not, at the beginning of this year, if you would have told me that Justin Thomas would be the player of the year, I wouldn't have believed you.
Yeah.
I mean, we all knew last year he's good.
Sure.
But
catches
he wasn't
that first
Spieth.
Win, but the repeat
he
win
wasn't.
At the
right.
Simb, and then, yeah. then which is coming up this fall.
Right.
Again, this is what the fall season can do. It can launch a player's season and vault him into that.
Right.
They kind of recapped it. It was like, hey, he won three times right out of the gate, 59, wins Hawaii, wins tournament champions.
Right.
And then he kind of had a weird summer, except for showing up at the U.S. Open with the great three woods in 63 on the
right.
round three. Doesn't
right.
finish that off, and then gets it done at the PGA, and yep. then gets it done at the.
I know, but
it was a great end of the season. So he bookended
five wins, right?
Five wins, bookended the season with a great start and a great finish, and a major
in there. And
he checked off a lot of things in his goal list. If you
that was that. Great.
People, a lot of things in the goal list were there.
If you haven't seen it, just Google it. They asked him if he accomplished his goals on his phone. He had a list of things
mm-hmm.
for the year at
right.
the beginning of the year
yep.
and checked all them off except three.
Right.
And he was very close in the three he didn't
right.
get
didn't
done.
Didn't have under par on par threes
right.
for the season.
Right.
Didn't.
But he was at 49%.
Right. Something. Then he strokes gained putting. You know, yeah. He was trying to work on trying to create a differential there, and things that I think if players look at their own game, how to improve on one part of your game, mm-hmm. and we'll talk about that our next time. Okay. How to improve on one, take a section of your game and really focus on getting better there.
Okay, that'll be good.
All right.
Although there's not really any one part of my game that I'm that weak in. As you know,
I understand. It's really a blanket of
it's
consistency.
All weak
it's
parts.
A blanket of
consistently
weak.
Thanks. See ya.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their 5 public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play golf, Lexington.
Well, as we get closer to the end of our backspin season, we're going to take a couple months vacation. I'm going to work on my game, and then when we come back in January, I'll be a lot better. As we wrap this up, I'm kind of saving my really, really big-time guests for the end. Don't laugh. And this guy is a really, really big-time guy. TJ O'Claire, our friend, he's the senior interactive producer for PGA.com. Says here you've been covering professional golf since 1998. You're only like 25 or something. How'd you do that?
I wish I was that young. I'm 37 now, but yeah, it's been a long time.
What an old guy. It's great to have you on. Thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure.
It's so great. You can follow him on Twitter at TJ O'Claire, AUCLAIR. And so much great stuff on this website, on PGA Tour, on PGA.com. I want to talk briefly, real quickly, about just a general thought you had about this season that just ended. Not the new one, which just started. That's a whole other story. But what did you take away the most? Other than, for me, it was Justin Thomas, and I think for a lot of people it was. But what are your thoughts on the season?
Well, you know, it's certainly Justin Thomas far and away. 5 wins, a major, the FedEx Cup. But my biggest takeaway from the season as a whole is just going to be the number of young players that emerged.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Xander Schauffele, who won the Tour Championship, won another event. He's the PGA Tour Rookie of the Year, young guy. You've got Ollie Schneider-Jens, who's going to be making his way up to kind of join that class of 2011. That also includes Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth. So, you know, we've always heard for years and years how golfers kind of hit their prime in their 30s. And if that's the case, can you imagine how good these guys are going to be in another 12 to 14 years? I mean, it's phenomenal. And I think it's got the game in a great place. You know, we saw the President's Cup recently, which was pretty much a no-doubter for the U.S.
Right.
You know, I don't think the internationals ever stood a chance. But I feel like the Ryder Cup is kind of a cyclical thing. And they just the U.S. has come back and they've really stepped it up.
Okay, I agree 100% with you. And the problem is that these guys are so good, so young, that and they're making so much money. I read somewhere. Did you see that stat about how much Justin Thomas made for each shot during the season?
Was it like $4,000
yeah.
a stroke or
yeah.
something crazy?
A stroke for the whole year. So I think we better be careful because these guys are going to get to be 35, 37 like you are, and they're going to have so much money and have been playing, they might just go, you know what, I'm going to do something else for a while, and I'll come back for the Champions Tour or something.
You know, I don't agree. I don't disagree with you. I think, that's going to probably be their biggest challenge is worrying about getting fat and happy, so to speak. But at the same time, I think with so many of them playing so well, you know, when you look at a guy like a Brooks Koepka, who just won a U.S. Mm-hmm. Open, Jordan Spieth, who's already got 3 majors and has a chance, had a chance at the PGA for the career Grand Slam already, and will have another chance this coming summer. Rory McIlroy, chance for a career Grand Slam at the Masters in April. I think those guys are in such a spot right now where they have the opportunity to chase history.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can maintain the success for, say, the next 10 years, I think, you know, they're going to start looking at golf records, and that's what is going to be their motivation. You know, forget all the money. We kind of laugh when we look at a guy like Justin Thomas who might say, you know, it's not about the money, it's about the wins. Well, it's easy to say when you've got as much money in the bank as he does at such a young age.
True.
But I think their biggest thing is going to be the fact that they're chasing history, and they're in that mix together. You know, it's they're all the same age. They know they're going to be out there for a long time, and they're going to want to beat each other's brains in, really. That's what it comes down to.
And that that's an interesting point that makes me think of the President's Cup and what Jordan Spieth, what these guys are talking about, was they're all friends. They all go on spring break together. But even when they're playing in a twosome in the President's Cup, they want to beat each other's brains in. And it's such a great dynamic to have out on the golf course with all these young guys.
You know, I think it is too. And I recently spoke to Jim Furyk, the U.S. Ryder Cup captain for next year. And we talked a little bit about, there had been some criticism kind of after the PGA Championship to guys like Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth, and how, you know, they waited by the green to greet their friend Justin Thomas, congratulate him on his win. And people have accused them of, you know, maybe lacking that killer instinct that we saw with Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
And Furyk, as soon as I brought it up, said, name me a person on tour who has more of a killer instinct than Jordan Spieth right now. And he said, you cannot. He said the difference between his generation and this generation is that when Furyk's guys were, you know, coming of age and, you know, racking up majors or whatever, they already had families. They had kids. He said, you know, we were in the locker room watching our guys, our buddies finish, and we congratulate when we come in, but we had a family to get back to.
Mm-hmm.
These guys don't yet. He said, you know, they're young, they're rich, and they're very talented on the tour. So they have the opportunity to go out there and greet their friend and congratulate him on victory. And he said, I think it's a great thing. But he said, to say that, you know, the older generation didn't do that, he said, it's just quite frankly not true. And, you know, my buddy Jason Sobel over at ESPN, he also had a great story with Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus both talking about how, you know, they'd wait in the locker room for each other and have a celebratory beer afterwards. So I don't think it's anything new. I think it's just that people aren't used to seeing it on TV. But as a fan of golf, I think it's a fantastic dynamic.
Absolutely.
I think it's great.
Absolutely. That's a great point by Furyk. And we'll, of course, have time to talk about the Ryder Cup and what's coming up with that stuff. There are a couple of things I want to touch on with you from PGA.com and the great work you do there. Some of these stories are amazing. And I want you to tell our listeners the story about Billy Andrade, who I've played in Peter Jacobson's, used to have the Fred Meyer Challenge. And so I got to be around Billy a little bit. He was always up there with Peter, and he's a wonderful guy. But this is the intersection of golf and a terrific guy and Sandy Koufax, and who has always been one of my three idols in my life in sports. And sometime when you and I talk, we don't have enough time, I'll tell you my Sandy Koufax story. But tell our listeners briefly about this great story about Billy Andrade and Sandy Koufax.
Sure. So this story goes back to 1985, and Billy Andrade at the time was one of the top amateur players in the world. And he was supposed to go play the Porter Cup, a prestigious amateur event up in Buffalo. And he had an early morning flight leaving Rhode Island, overslept, got a knock on his bedroom door around 6:15 from his dad saying, you know, Billy, we got to rush you to the airport. So Billy gets to the airport, rushes to his gate, gets on the plane, and finds out that they'd already given his seat away to somebody who was on standby. So being a 21-year-old kid at the time, they tell Billy, you know, you can take the next flight 4 hours later, but we're going to give you a complimentary round-trip ticket to anywhere in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So he thought that was pretty cool. So then, you know, fast forward to December of that year, 1985, and he decides for Christmas break he's going to go out to Santa Barbara, California, to visit his friend Sam Randolph, who's the reigning U.S. amateur champion. So while they're there at La Cumbre Country Club out in Santa Barbara, they're having lunch, and Sam Randolph says to Billy, he says, you know who that guy is over there? And Billy said, no. He said, that's Sandy Koufax. And this is, what, 19 years after Koufax retired, but Billy recognized greatness. Anyway, he gets the nerve to get up and go over and introduce himself to Mr. Koufax. Koufax has some small talk with him. Billy goes on to win a national championship at Wake Forest, turns pro, he's on a winning Walker Cup team in 87, and then in 1990, he's at a pro-am, and he starts thinking about Koufax, because they had talked about hitting the ball longer, how do you do it? And Billy is watching this long drive contest at this pro-am, and just kind of you know, jogged his memory and said, oh, yeah, I wonder, you know, what's up with Koufax? He turns around. Koufax is standing right there. So Billy goes to reintroduce himself, and Koufax said, no, I remember you. We met at the Cumbre over in Santa Barbara. He said, I've been keeping track of your career. You're doing a great job. So from there, this friendship emerges, and Koufax ends up playing Billy's Pro-Am with Brad Faxon here in Rhode Island for the next 15 years in a row. Billy has had Koufax to his house in Rhode Island and Atlanta many times. His family has gone to Koufax's house down in Florida. And when Billy was playing regularly on the PGA Tour during the Florida swing, Koufax would go down. They'd visit spring training camps. Billy has a lot of major league friends,
yeah.
Roger Clemens, Tom Glavine among them. And they would take these younger pitchers out to dinner with he and Koufax. And he said, you know, it would just blow my mind listening to Koufax talk about the art of baseball. So they remain great friends to this day, and in fact, Billy told me yesterday that they already made a pact with one another. Billy's going to be out in California in a couple weeks for a Champions Tour event, and if the Dodgers are in the World Series, he and Koufax are going to attend Game 1 together that week. So just a really cool thing, and like Billy said, it was dumb luck missing that flight or
yeah.
getting there too late and getting the round-trip ticket, and you know, has a lifelong friendship with Koufax to this day.
There's so many implications in that story about, you know, kind of things happen for a reason and all the cliches you can think of. But I'm just sitting here, and I don't think I've ever been more jealous of a person than I am of Billy Andrade
right
now, because I met Koufax, and he is – there's nobody like him, truly yeah. nobody like him. What a great story. All right, real quickly, the other one – I wanted to touch on with you, and this shows, it's just a great golf story. Tell us about Len Matisse, who played on the tour, made it into a playoff for the Masters 1 year, but he did a really great thing in Rhode Island at a country club there.
You really do, and just to clarify for your listeners, I live in Rhode Island, obviously
yep.
the smallest state in the country, and we have an abundance of great golf courses and great golf stories like the one you just mentioned, and Matisse was here. He married a girl from Rhode Island, and her father is an avid golfer, still to this day. And anyway, he and a friend took Len Matisse out to Pawtucket Country Club here, which is a well-known course in the area. And they're playing their round, and Len is hitting the ball really well. He said, this is early 2000s, right before the Masters stuff mm-hmm. went down. And he said, you know, I'm playing the best golf of my life. So it's just a casual round. They get to the 18th green, and Len's got a putt from about, he says 8 feet. His father-in-law says no way. He said it was 2 feet.
Yeah.
Lenny's being humble. So anyway, the putt, the friend notes is, hey, if Lenny makes this putt, he's got the course record with a 60.
And this is a course that was
course record.
This is a course that was built in 1902.
That's right. That's right. So Len asks who has the record, and it's a gentleman by the name of Les Kennedy, who's a long time PGA head professional at the course. He also served as the superintendent there. A good player in his day, too. He played in the U.S. Open and a Masters. But anyway, he's had this record since 1970. So Len looks up, and you know, he's kind of thinking to himself as he lines up the putt, I can't take this guy's record. So he intentionally three-jacks. And his father-in-law says, you know, what are you doing? And he said, you know, I don't want any part of that record. You know, Les has had it for so long. He's a legend around here. It would be terrible for a tour pro to come in and take his record. So just a total class act.
Oh, yeah.
And that's been my feeling of Len for as long as I've followed him. But to hear him tell the story, and, you know, he also tried to not make a big deal out of it. He was like, oh, you know, any tour pro
right.
would have done that. And I'm not sure that's the case. But, you know, just a tremendous gesture. And in doing the story, what I learned when I talked to the current pro, because Les Kennedy died, I believe, in 2000, the record stands to this day.
Wow.
So imagine, you know, if Matisse had gone in there and done it, it doesn't mean as much. But now Les Kennedy, the legend at Pawtucket Country Club, still has this record from 1970 that stands 47 years later.
Unbelievable. It just gives me chills. It's a great story. I can't thank you enough for joining us. It's such an honor to have you on, and I wish maybe when we come back in the next season in January, I'll spend a whole hour with you, because your stories, everything you do is just fantastic. And I'm sorry your Red Sox lost, but hey.
It's okay. We've been spoiled greatly here in the last several years. So,
I'll talk to you soon. It's great seeing all the pictures of your family and everybody. And take care. And thanks again.
Thanks so much. You take care, man.
Okay. See ya.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by French Lick Resort. Visit them online at FrenchLick.com.
Continuing now with this version of Backspin Golf, having my favorite people on, we had the great TJ O'Claire already joining us. And now, it says here on her Twitter account, golf writer, SB Nation. That's a joke. It should there should be an adjective that's it's like brilliant golf writer or great golf writer or I'm going to fix that for her. And after we get off, she's also a member of the Golf Writers Association of America, as well she should be. The wonderful Emily Kay joins us now. Hi, Em.
Hey, Matthew. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I hope you are.
You know.
Yeah, I know. I know.
It's you know, in addition to everything else, it's, you know, the next season here in New England is not one that I'm fond of.
Oh, boy.
Trying to squeeze every second out of every sunny day here.
Oh, I know. I lived there for a long time, and I have friends. You know, it's great because when we call you, your area code is the same area code as my best friend from New England from 40 years ago, who I talk to on the way into work every morning. Still.
Really?
And it's the same area code as yours, and I love
that.
What town? He's in Salem.
Not far.
Yep. Oh, good. So when I come to see him, I can come see you.
Yes,
okay.
Definitely. And your friend can probably obviously get us onto Salem, huh? Salem Country Club?
No, I don't think so.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
all right. Here's what I want to do. You had a couple days ago on your Twitter account, and you can follow her on Twitter at Golf Examiner, which she is. And it says Phil Mickelson nearly halts victory drought as Tiger Woods makes progress, and Rory McIlroy goes 0 for 2017. Just a couple of thoughts about the PGA Tour, which just concluded and has now just begun for next year, but I want to. We're kind of looking back at last year and what kind of stood out for you.
Well, for sure. I mean, I'd call those guys, even Rory at this point, kind of the old guard.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't put him in there, but unless he, you know, reverts to his old form, he's kind of in that cat. I've kind of put him in that category as definite superstars and sort of at the crossroads of their careers. I don't know if Tiger really is, but Phil seems to be making another big push. 47, I think he is. And he just seemed to be completely rejuvenated by teeing it up with the youngsters in the President's Cup. He was having a great time, and, you know, the President's Cup's a whole other deal about whether that's even worth going on with. But
right. For
Phil, it was a terrific momentum builder, and he took that in the next week to almost end that winless streak at the Safeway Open. I mean, he played really well and with energy, which, you know, in the most of the season he seemed to fade during the weekends, but he was just really in it. I spoke with his ex-caddy, Jim Bones McKay, during the Dell Technologies Championship, or what I still call the Deutsche Bank, because I'm not able to do all that. And he said he was sure that his ex-boss had at least one more major in him. And who knows, who can argue
absolutely
with him?
Absolutely. You know, when you watch him play, and we know how long the young guys are, and even some of the older guys, but when you watch Phil at his age, he hits it further than he's ever hit it. He's still got that, when he produces that magical short game, and if he's making putts, I don't see any reason why he can't win another major. And I've said this on the show, I think, that my favorite moment of the President's Cup, and there were many, very little of them had to do with golf,
right. But
when he and Kisner did the Three Amigos was, to me, one of the great moments in golf.
Didn't it kind of remind you of Tiger and Matt Kuchar doing the Fresh Prince, whatever the
yes.
heck that was called?
Yes.
I mean, these guys, yeah. come, I mean, it's just funny.
I think it's an awesome thing. And of course, as I spoke a minute ago with TJ about Justin Thomas and all the young guys, truly young guys, and there are so many of them, that was really the story of this year, and it will be, looks like, for quite a while. Because there are young guys we don't even know about yet who in 2 years are going to be the next Xander Shoffley.
Sorry. Yeah. I guess I can't argue with that.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, they definitely are the story going forward. But I, as an old git myself, I kind of like to look back on the guys that I kind of grew up watching.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and obviously the young guys are exciting. And if somebody like DJ can take it over and run with it, I think it would be even more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Having all these young guys, as you said, it's not fair, but they're almost kind of interchangeable, the Jordans and the Justins and the whatevers.
That's a good point, though. I mean,
there's not just one guy like a Tiger or even a Rory when he was kind of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It just to me, and this is just my opinion, I find it much more interesting when there's a dominant player. Maybe other people like to see the X-Man and other people come up and win every tournament, you know, somebody else. But anyway.
Yeah, no, I'm the biggest Tiger fan in the world and was
you
the
are,
happy.
You are not.
I am. And was the happiest when he was destroying everybody.
Yeah, no, it was excellent fun.
Yep.
I mean, it's great to watch, and it's just sort of great to be a part of, but his latest maybe comeback? I don't know, I seem like I've been to this rodeo too many times before. He starts with that slow-mo video of his swing.
Yes.
Puts it up on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
He ramps it up into a clinic or an exhibition.
Yep.
And then what?
Yeah, then we wait, and then he tries to play again, and then, you know, there's a big... As much as I hate to say it, there's a big part of me that wishes he would just stop.
Oh, I do too. And the same conversation I was having with Jim McKay, David Faraday joined us. And his major concern for Tiger is his health, his overall health, and his well-being as a person rather than a golfer. And it just seems... does it tarnish his legacy to do this and keep failing? I don't know. Maybe a little bit, but he's still Tiger. He's still the needle mover, even when he's not playing. I mean, he was the biggest draw during the Presidents' Cup.
Yeah, yep.
But really, kind of nudge me when he makes it to the first tee in a competitive event, because this is just
it's Tiger brutal.
Watch is just brutal.
It is.
You're right. It's brutal.
It is. I hate it.
And
too.
It's brutal. It has to be brutal for him. I mean, he even said during that week. I think it was during that week that. It would not be out of the realm of possibility he never competes again.
Yeah.
And that seems to me that he's obviously way closer to that than ever regaining any kind of winning form.
Mm-hmm.
But, and if he does come back, he's not going to be the same Tiger. He's just going to be one of the guys the way he has been in each of his other comebacks. It's really...
Yeah. This is like Joe Namath playing for the Los Angeles Rams or some, you know, one of those guys. And you hate to see that. You just hate to see it.
You do. Tiger Woods should not be just one of the guys.
Right.
I mean,
in terms
of his skill set and what he's brought to the game, I'd rival you for being one of the biggest Tiger honks around. And I would love to see him come back, compete, and win. I just don't want to go through it again.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine how his body can.
I don't think any of us want to see that. All right. Finally.
Then there's Rory.
Who knows? Who knows with these guys?
He keeps saying he's close, but he left for his 6-week vacation finally,
mm-hmm.
Saying that he was in like kind of idling and neutral. He's got all those injuries. I mean, I hope he doesn't start rivaling his boyhood hero, Tiger, with the having this injury-plagued career. But two out of the last 3 years, he's. Injuries have ruined his season, and then that whole equipment change that screwed him the last time.
Yes.
I don't know what. No, I don't think anybody, including Rory, knows what to expect.
All right. And finally, before I let you go, any thoughts on the LPGA side of this season?
Unfortunately, Lydia Ko, she's got 9 top 10s this season. and yet she doesn't have a win, and it feels like she fell off the map, doesn't it?
Yeah, and she also changed caddies 20 times and equipment and everything and coaches and everything.
Coach, she's on her 10th caddy. That's a whole other story.
Hello.
Merry-go-round.
Yeah.
But it feels like she's just gone from sight, and she's really not, and she's very young. So we can hope that maybe she has some kind of resurgence. And Michelle Wee, I mean, she cannot catch a break.
Yeah.
She just can't stay healthy.
Yep.
It's but I think the, unfortunately, I think what's going to stand out more than anything, at least for me, in the LPGA, are kind of the controversies. This whole dress code thing.
Yeah.
Which, I'm all for women athletes, totally for women athletes, being respected for their skills and not their sex appeal. So some of the outfits people wear, and I'm old again.
Mm-hmm.
They're not my cup of tea, but this just feels like another way in this regressive Handmaid's Tale era of those in power trying to control women, and it bugs me.
You're not the only
one. Too much in it,
I mean, there are a lot of people that feel that way.
Yeah. And then there were the two weather fiascos in a row. I mean,
yeah.
That whole Evian Championship, which is another story about whether that should even be a fifth major, but shortening it to 54 holes and scrapping all the first-round scores on the first day.
Fiasco.
And then failing to call the women off the course in New Zealand before all these signs and other flying objects were threatening them bodily. I mean, I fear it's after like a well-deserved and very long honeymoon period for Mike Wan, the commissioner, that players are reportedly fuming may be too hard a word, but not happy with the way they believe both weather-impaired tournaments were handled and their safety overall.
And I think maybe, you know, this little break that they'll have going into next season may help.
Well, they're not done yet.
Yeah, I know. After this is over, I mean,
yeah.
You know, I keep, you know, we're into the next PGA season. I'm all confused.
Don't
I know.
Even get me started on the 11-day off season.
All right. Well, when we come back in January, because we take a couple month break, we'll start there and we'll really hammer some people. It'll be great.
Good. Excellent.
All right. You're the best, Em. Thanks so much for jumping on with me, and I'll talk to you real soon.
Great. Thanks, Matt. Okay. You always love speaking with you.
All right. That'll do it. Man, I love those two people. Thanks to TJ O'Claire and Emily Kay for joining us and giving us their thoughts on the season past. Of course, thanks to Perry French. Couldn't do it without Perry French. Thanks to French Lick Resort and Edwin Watts Golf and Lexington Parks and Rec for their great partnership as we've gone through this season. We got another couple of shows left, but thanks to them. And have a great Sunday. It's beautiful out there. Go play some golf. And we'll see you all next week, or you'll hear us all next week, on Backspin Golf. It's ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Dan and Mary Jo is next.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.